We're back again, bro.
Yes, finally.
We took a weekend off. And guess who else did? The Oklahoma City fucking Thunder, baby.
Yeah, man.
That shit.
Didn't they have a game, though, on Saturday, though?
Nah, it was Friday.
Friday. Dang.
And then they went back home.
Yeah.
Now.
That was a rough game Friday, man.
You know what, though? Here's what I want to say.
Okay, before we get into that, the last storm you got on Twitter this morning, and I want to ask you about this because I'm curious. You posted a tweet that says, "Any OKC Thunder fan who has lost faith in Josh Giddey is ignorant. You're the same fucking morons who put KD and Russ against each other. Pitted KD and Russ against each other." If you treat Josh as bad as you've been treating as you treated Russ, shit is going to get wild because we are not going to stand for the slander. It's time to check yourself. No more warnings. What the fuck does that mean? Because I am super curious. I know that there's been some negative talk, but what exactly are you meaning by that?
Bro, we're already starting to see it. We're starting to see people question the draft pick that was Josh Giddey. We're seeing people question, like, what most people who understand the game of basketball is, like, this is a sophomore slump, but it's a very slight sophomore slump. We're not talking about a full-blown slump. Like, this guy was playing ball last night, and he was playing well, but people are looking at him, and they're saying, okay, well, Shea's timeline is so much faster than, you know, this. So now, if players aren't helping us win right now, they're on our bad side. And that's just asinine. This is why we said at the beginning of the season, like, is Shea up for this? Because in the end, it's going to take time. He is already at this superstar level. The rest of the guys need some time. But Josh Giddey just became not a teenager. He already understands things about passing and stuff that puts him in an elite category. Yeah, his shot needs some time. But if his shot was pure, he would have been the number one pick.
Is it a sophomore slump, or is it more of a, I'm learning a new position and it's going to take a little time?
Okay, so they obviously work together hand in hand, but like, if you could imagine like being like as a sophomore in the NBA changing positions because they're saying, we want you to get more downhill more. We want to attack closeouts. We want to have you be a playmaker, you know, create opportunities, advantages for your teammates and stuff like that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Then what we end up with is a different Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
A better Josh Giddey. It's going to take some time, but if we were saying, like, Josh, we want you to go out there and want you to do whatever it takes to look like the best version of you as possible, then we wouldn't be having him, like, handle the ball in the half court, you know, where he's catching the ball in rotations. We'd have him handle it in the full court. But sure, the half court, he's got great size for his position. He's got the mid-range game that's coming along. He can finish at the basket. So you want him in these downhill positions. And that, so this is intentional. This team is moving in a way that will help him become a better player in the long run. But obviously this is loaded because there's history here, right? A lot of the people who have prominence within the Oklahoma City Thunder community were the ones who built their names on tearing the Thunder apart. And a lot of them have moved on to different jobs. Some of them, we're not even allowed to mention their names anymore because of the jobs they have. But it was a core part of what made the beginning generation of the Thunder, the first round of what we'll call greatness, right, was there were fans who hated each other. There were fans who supported KD. There were fans who supported Russ, and they were pitted against each other. And sure, I'm telling you right now, with Shea playing at the level he's playing, people are like, okay, he's already taken on this KD, most loved in Oklahoma City status. But it's like, to prove how powerful and how strong you are, it's not about punching somebody who's weak.
Sure.
It's about having the power to control yourself and only use that when you need to stand up to somebody who's picking on somebody who's weak. And these people are like, oh, we can turn on Josh Giddey. We know how to turn on Josh Giddey. We've been turning on people for years. This is our MO. This is what we do. Boom. Josh, I saw somebody rank him as the 8th to 10th most important player in the future of the Thunder.
Wow.
All right, and so some people are like, well, that's not that bad. That's not that bad. Like, no, it's insulting, and it's done with an intention of degrading. And that right there We're not going to stand by. So these people, they know who they are. Okay. They like to stoke this type of tension. It gets them more clicks. It gets them more views, whatever. That's fine. That's their prerogative. But we will go around calling these people out by name. We will call out these positions by name, like these thought leaders or whatever. And then we're going to tell people how to fucking go at them and gouge their eyeballs out. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a group of people who, when we got at the doorstep of a championship, they tore the team apart. Sure. So this isn't a game to us. We've seen it go badly. We're not going to let it go badly. And if it starts to go badly, I promise you one thing. We've proven this before. We will be the loudest voices in the room.
Yeah, and this goes back to understanding what Sam Presti is doing with this team and the players that he's drafting. And I always love it when we bring up Sam Presti and Sun Tzu, right?
Right, Art of War, baby.
The Art of War, right?
Yeah.
And I was reading a little bit today, just kind of, you know, understanding a little bit more because I like to...
I was doing it too. You got me on that kick. I've been reading Sun Tzu too. Good.
Because like you can't go wrong with some knowledge here. And the one that I keeps going, the quote, the thing that I highlighted for the day was when he was talking about strategy, okay? And he's talking about understanding your enemy, all right? He says, if you know your enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. If you know yourself and not your enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither your enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every fucking battle. Obviously, he doesn't say fucking.
Oh, he says it. He means it.
But I'm saying it because this is what happened, is that we're watching the merging of this team starting to click, starting to form, starting to understand each other. With that being said, that's exactly of knowing yourself. We're getting to know ourselves right now because we know the enemy. We know what the enemies are capable of doing because we watch 82 fucking games a year against these other these teams that these guys play. So you know what the other, you know, teams are qualified. You know what they're good. So if we look at it and it says 100 battles in here and we say, okay, the Thunder have played 82 battles, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're playing 82 battles. We know ourselves and we know the enemies. What does that mean? We need not fear the outcome. Because if we know both, then guess what's going to happen? Good things. And that's where we're at this year. We're understanding where we're at as a team. We're understanding the enemy. And we're getting to that point where we can hold ourselves not only above water, but we can win more times than we're going to lose. And I think that's what's a powerful situation that we're in. And we're looking at Josh Giddey. We're looking at Poku. And I get so angry when these guys get trashed. You know, like last year, Poku was everybody's punching bag.
Yeah.
And this year, year three, we're seeing Poku step up in a huge way. And it's like, oh, okay. Now all these people that hated Poku are calling Poku our second best player on the team.
Right.
And it's
aren't these the same people who are saying that Giddey's like not playing good or not good?
That's right.
The same people.
And these are the guys that do not know who they are.
Boom.
They do not know who we are as a team. And they do not understand the enemy. And that's what?
Not even a little.
Their outcome is never going to be favorable for them. They're always going to lose in their minds. And that's why we're standing here talking positive about Josh, talking positive about Giddey, is because we know our players, we know our team, and we know the enemy, and we know what's happening. We see it in everybody that knows anything about the NBA, that is a professional, that is, you know, ears to the floor. They're all saying it. Oklahoma City is going to win 40 games this year if they stay healthy. And it's powerful because they might not be saying, utilizing that word 40 games, right? But they're calling the Thunder above 500 team or a 500 team. That's what they're saying. And I'm looking at this and I'm starting to understand, like, these are the things that Mark and I have been talking about and discussing for years and years and years. This team isn't being looked at properly. It's never been being looked at properly. It's a small market with shitty writers and shitty podcasters. And because of that, the knowledge has been passed down from generation to generation. And we say generation, it's a single generation right at this point.
But, you know, but still, there's enough to see a pattern.
Yes. And that's why this is here. That's why we are here, is because we're sick and tired of our fans not knowing who this team is. Right. We're sick and tired of our fans not knowing who Sam
or Barry Trammell getting to tell everybody what he thinks is going on. Mizzuto. Andrew Schlecht.
Topic Thunder. Like, these guys, yeah, uncontested. Oh, I mean, we could go down, like, this list of guys that are sitting there saying,
amateur hour, bro. That's what they
want
are.
more draft picks. Right. We want more draft. We understand that people want more draft picks, but why can't you just love the team that you have in front of you? Why can't you talk positive about the team that's in front of you? Know your team.
You know why? Basically, you know, like you've heard the phrase, hurt people, right? Miserable people like to make people miserable. It's their number one goal in life. And so these people don't love them. They don't have families that are supportive networks that they can fall back on. They don't have friends that really tell them, hey, no matter what, we got your back. So they try to like do this, like Rylan, like to create meaning. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. It's worked for some people. You've seen some people go get really, really tremendous jobs because they're willing to say something about the Oklahoma City community that nobody from the outside is. But hey, if you're going to pay me, I'll talk shit on myself, on my community. And that's what happens. And here's what we need to focus on about this game against the Grizzlies, bro. This was, and I'm going to say this and then it's going to sound like it's a bad thing, but it's actually a really positive thing. This was Shea's worst game of the season, in my opinion. But here's the really good stuff, bro. We had a chance to win it at the end. And it was because everybody else has stepped up. And to me, if you said, we're going to play a team as good as the Grizzlies, and they have Ja in the game, it's even without Ja, they're still, like they beat us by 70, and I don't think they had Ja last year when they did that. They did. But like they got Ja in the game. They're close to full strength. Shea's going to have 15 points. I'd be like, that's going to be one of the worst games of the season. But instead, we saw big play from Giddy. We saw big plays from J-Dub. Poku, before he went down, was playing great. Aaron Wiggins, like Kenny Hustle. Like, I can just keep going and going. Like, the game was a very well-played game from the perspective, if you were to say, with the caveat, this is Shea's worst game, then you go, whoop, what happens? We saw the team grow up. We saw them improve. It was the end of a long road trip. Not the longest road trip, but a exhausting road trip. And we saw the quality of play improve. Like, if anybody wants to act like that we lost that game, that's fine. We did, on the score, lose that game. But in every other way, we won that game.
Yeah. In the mindset of chaos, which was exactly what was going on the other night, on Friday night, there is always an opportunity. And here we have Shea in complete chaos. You know, things aren't going his way. I mean, 15 points on 18 shots is not a bad stat. I mean, I understand people are going to get like, oh,
except for Shea. Shea has created such a standard of excellence that we can only compare him really to himself at this point in the game.
Exactly right. And so back to what I was saying there is, like, in the mindset of chaos, there's an opportunity for other players out there. Chaos is happening with Shea. We saw other players step up. And what I was most impressed with was our bench, man. Our bench is really stepping up in an amazing way. And not just that, but Ja has this unique way of taking over game. And Shea only scored 15, but Shea and Dort and the rest of the guys held Ja to 19 points. And it goes back down to exactly what this team does so well is the defensive-minded aspect means that we could have an off night, which 109 points doesn't really seem like an off night, or 102 points, whatever it was. It doesn't seem like an off night compared to last year, but it is, because we've seen this team do some superior things, some amazing things in the season already. And we're talking about 135 points. We're talking about 145 points. This team does some great things. So our defense, I felt like, did a great job of keeping us in the game the other night. We scored just enough to stay in the game. But the reality is that we saw Poku go down in the first quarter after having a superior first quarter. I mean, it was him bang, 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 and just doing the things that Poku does so well, and then nothing, because, of course, you get injured. Now, I've been doing research on that. I have connections inside the team, and it seems like at this point that Poku is a day-to-day or game-to-game decision. Okay. We know that the Thunder like to handle that a little differently than more normal teams, and like to handle that and the aspect of getting players more rest. Now, we've had Saturday, Sunday, and Poku's 20. So there is a good chance he could play tonight. But the reality is if I was coach and I was Sam Presti, with as well as Poku's been playing, man, you got to let him sit, make sure he's not going to get any more damage to that foot, and then go back out there. I love Poku, man. I love what he's doing. And last two games, he's played like 12 minutes in each game, and he's got 3 blocks in each game. So obviously he's top 7 in block shots this year. We're already looking at almost 20 games down for the season, which is a fourth of the season, and he's top 10 in blocks, guys. This is reality. Poku is going to be known as one of those guys that we're all going to sit back and really have an opportunity to enjoy, because yeah, he'll have games where he scores really well, but really Poku's game is the same as Baisley, is the same as Kenny Hustle's, is the same as so many of those other guys that are so good at it on our bench and, you know, starting depending on the day. They play defense at a very, very high level. And because of that, we're top 5 defensive team in the NBA. And people can be like, oh, well, you gave up this many points, you gave up this many points. But, I mean, the reality is that the way we play defense is second to none. There's no other team that's out there playing defense like us. And then if you add our offense in there about tacking and being physical, these guys that are playing against us aren't getting breaks. They're getting physical contact on the offensive side, physical contact on the defensive side, and everywhere in between, man. It's like they're just getting fucked from every hole that's available, and they don't even know where it's coming from.
Exactly, dude. And that, I'm just going to leave right there because I don't really know how to add on to that one. But we're in a win-win situation, bro. And that's just the fact. We want to see Poku get back. We want to see this team be full strength. But each time that this team encounters adversity, like, we've stepped up and players have grown into roles that really we couldn't have imagined for them. And we're watching these young guys do things against teams that are full of veterans. You look at that Grizzlies team. Oh, my gosh. You got to love that grit and grind mentality. You got to love that Steven Adams, Desmond Bain, like, that toughness that they bring on both ends of the court.
Hmm.
And we're throwing out guys that have been in the league for a matter of months. And we're saying, like, trial by fire. And we're seeing players who are becoming stars in their role. And then you look and you say, that's what makes the Grizzlies so fucking special. Yeah, Ja makes them special. Ja's really special, right? But if it was just Ja, then we would be looking at a guy who goes to battle every day and he doesn't have anybody there with him. It's those other guys that make this team so fucking special. And so I look at it and, like, for me, there's two elements that you have to have when you're building a team. You got to have that star power, and you've got to have those role players who are stars in their role. And we're developing that.
Yeah.
So the difference between having it and being in the middle of developing it as fans, like, that requires our patience. And we've seen this team become the fans become impatient before. And that's what we're concerned about. Because when they become impatient, if they were just, like, impatient and they got impatient with it, the coaching staff or with the GM, fine. When they start getting impatient with the players, it's personal. And we know this because we've been able to develop relationships with family members of the players because they say, you're the only people who aren't saying mean things about the players. And we say, because you're going to talk shit on the players, that's your prerogative, but that's not going to happen here. It's not that everybody's perfect. It's not that nobody makes mistakes. It's that we're not going to make our reputation by tearing down teenagers. Let other people do that. That's fine. There's always scumbags who will click on that content, who will consume it, who will go around repeating it and perpetuating it, and that's fine. Okay? But somebody has to stand up for what's right, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something you said, having it and developing it, okay? When you have it, right, you can win 40 games. All right. When you're developing it, right? Okay. You can't win 40 games. Okay. The difference at where we're at right now is that we have a combo of situations on our hands. And that's unlike a lot of other teams in the NBA where they either have it or they're just, you know, like us in a situation, or like us last year where it's like, okay, we're developing, we're going for that developing aspect of it. But you look at this team and you say, okay, we have players that are in the midst of their whole peak, right? And then we have the players that are developing it. And so when we're sitting here and saying, you have it, you can win 40 games, okay? But if we have it at year 3 of this rebuild, what does that make us in year 4? And it goes back to Sun Tzu, which one of the things that he says over and over and over in his book, it's talking about battles. Like, the greatest victory is that which requires no battle. He talks about winning a war without ever fighting. You know, like, how do you accomplish that? How do you get that going down? Well, if you look at the NBA and you look at how it's designed, your war is the playoffs, man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got your whole like training all the way up until that playoff moment, okay?
Yeah.
And if you look at this team and the way it's developed, like, that is the moment we're going to see this team flex its muscles. Because on a 7-game series, when you're playing as many guys as you can and the other team is forced to play their stars for 40 minutes, it happens every single year. A team runs into a wall because they don't have the bench. They just don't. It's people's weaknesses in the NBA. And if you look at the way this team is built and you understand what this battle that we've created, you know, we've created a battle that's not going to even be a battle when this team is peaking. Because if you want to sit here and tell me that the Oklahoma City Thunder isn't going to sweep teams out of the playoffs in every single round all the way up until the championship, you're crazy. Look at how this team is built. They're built for series. They're built for, you know, playing against a team and all of a sudden saying, Coach D is saying, okay, you know what? This lineup didn't work. I'm going to tweak it here and I'm going to put this lineup in there. Boom, that works. I'm going to keep that lineup. Game four, over. Sweep. Next series. That's what's going to happen. Unlike any other team that we've ever seen in history, the coaching staff, the GM, the players, everybody is in sync. Everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody knows their strengths. Everybody is going to that. We don't have any fucking heroes out there that are like, hey, pass me the ball. I'm going to shoot it 20 times a game. We don't. Even with Shea's out there shooting under 20 times a game. If he shoots above 20, it's because he's getting into that upper 30s to 40 points a game in that particular game. That's what's so special about this team is how we take care of the ball, how we understand the defense, our offense, and we're all in sync. And that's when it comes to playoff time, we're going to surprise people. Maybe not this year, but in the future, it's going to be like, holy shit, this team was designed for the playoffs. And that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, and it takes depth. Like, it takes the ability to run out 12 players. And when everybody else is shortening their rotation when they get into the playoffs down to 8 people or whatever, here we are, and we keep it at 12. And each given game, we've seen it. It may only be 10, but people will find their ways into the games and they'll be given opportunities to play well. And if they do good with that opportunity, they're going to get more burn. And that's the style that we've set up. That's what we love watching. And sometimes it's going to be Shea who isn't the guy out there. Sometimes it's going to be Giddy who...
It wasn't Shea last night or Friday night.
It wasn't.
Unfortunately.
And that's fine though, right? The thing that isn't fine is when everybody knows it's not that guy's night, but nobody can do anything other than let the guy shoot because, like, that's all we have. So he's got to get up 35 shots a night or something. That becomes painful to watch.
With James Harden, Allen Iverson, I mean, these guys, they have success to an extent. But when you're taking, you know, 35 shots in a game and scoring 22 points or 26 points, I mean, you're hurting your team more than helping them.
Now, let's talk about, like, a team that we might compared to a bit, although we're a little bit, you know, behind the years with them, but like the Dallas Mavericks right now, they have a superstar and then they have the rest of the squad who they're trying to figure out how they can complement him, you know, give him the team he needs. And they also have the sense that, like, if they don't do it fast, they could lose him. That's been the challenge with Luka since he showed up and he was an MVP level player. They have to find a way to create a contender. And that's why you saw Porzingis go there and then leave. And that's why you saw, like, they're always trying to find that combo. Whereas the Thunder, like, we've got Shea, and our team isn't quite, the rest of the team isn't quite where the Mavericks are at this point. Mm-hmm. But because of their age, because of, like, where they were picked or how we found them, like Dort or like Wiggins at the end of the draft, but they're willing to do whatever it takes. Those guys will make it up. So How far away are those guys from being at the point where they can really impact a game when Shea isn't even playing or like he has a game like the other night? Like, I think it could happen a lot faster than this, maybe like warp speed compared to what I'm talking about. But the truth is, it's a year and a half away for a lot of these guys.
Year three, baby.
Like they need the rest of this year. They need a summer. They need to start the season, and then they need to go back, work hard again. Right around Christmas, they're going to come out and we'll be like, wow, some of these guys are putting up 20-plus points on a regular basis. And
sure.
We weren't even sure that they had that in them, you know, at this point. So, you know, it's going to be a year and a half. But in the meantime, what we get to see is a really special time for Shea, a really special time for our rookies, a really special time for our sophomores. It's the growth. It's the growth of this team. If you were around for the last time the Thunder were good, right? If you waited until the team was winning 50 games to go watch a game or to go, you know, turn one on or whatever, then you missed out. Yeah, I mean, you had fun. It was fun. We had a hell of a run.
Sure.
But the most fun was watching the team go from being bad to good, knowing what they went through, and then watching them really get to the point where the whole NBA had to take account for them. And it was like, weren't these guys just like 2 years ago too young to be taken seriously? ... What the fuck is going to happen next? And that's the most fun, is watching it happen and then projecting the next level.
I think you're right. And I think that's, again, you know, where we're talking about this team and understanding exactly who they are is, you know, we have Shea, and with Shea playing the way he is, we can win 40 games this year if he's healthy. When we come back next year, it's a whole new game. It's a whole new ball game for this team. Where do I think that we can end up with Chet being presumably a rookie at this point next year? You got Chet as rookie. You have what other player we add on. And then we have the rest of the guys back. Like, where can this team be? I this team is getting better to an extent that, again, we're looking down the score sheet. And if you want to look at the score sheet for this team and understanding what they're doing, it's very easy, because you just go down the bench and understand 8 points, 9 points, 7 points, 12 points, 14 points. Like, the Thunder understand that we're playing against other teams in the league that don't have benches, you know, that are requiring their best players, if they want to win, to play 40-plus minutes a game. You know, like, that's fine. But that's why this team is always going to have healthy guys when we are competing. When we're getting to that point, it's going to be freak accidents that hurt us, you know? But the rest of them are going to be able to stay healthy. And it's going to be one of those things where, when we're looking at it, and you said 18 months, I think next year, the start of year three, and the improvement that we saw with Poku is the same type of improvement that we're going to expect on these other year two guys. That's JRE, that's Trey Mann, that's Josh Giddey, and that's Aaron Wiggins. Those four guys, we're going to see the biggest jump in their game this next year, okay? The year after that is going to be the next rookies class, okay? And I think that we all recognize this is how the NBA and the Oklahoma City Thunder work. It's a three-year program. You do the things you're supposed to for 3 years. You do it hard. You do it everything you can. And then you get a $27 million contract if you do well. Because that $27 million contract is very specific in price. And I started going back and I started recognizing you could have many $27 million guys on your team. As long as you have your two or three stars, man.
Yeah. Yep, that balance. That's what we're talking about, man. And as fans, we just got to remember that we support the players. If you forget that, you're going to be in trouble. Don't worry about it. If you forget
that. What else are we supposed to do? Like, how many times have we gone to a stadium and we have a guy wearing a Thunder t-shirt or a Thunder, you know, and he's screaming at the players? You know, it's like you go to a high school game and there's that one dad, always that one dad that sits in the stands and just screams at his kid. And it's like, you're taking all the fucking fun out of it. Like, can't you just see and stop and observe that your son is out there hustling his balls off, getting, you know, shots, and who cares if he missed a layup? He got a steal. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we're seeing. We're like, you see, like, Shea get this, or Josh Giddey get a steal, and then he misses a layup, or Josh Giddey get this and gets a turnover, and everybody's like, that doesn't understand. It's like, oh, fucking ass, what the fuck? And it's like, bro, he's a 20-year-old kid. Don't you understand the whole development stage? And it's like, oh, well, you know, we want to be winning. Well, yeah, no shit. But there's a developmental stage that comes before that. And some of these guys are still in that developmental stage, and they're going to make those bonehead plays. And people called it the Poku plays last year, okay? No, it's the developmental stage. If you're under 20 years old, you're going to be making knucklehead plays. Because guess what? You didn't play 4 years of college. You probably just barely played 4 years of high school if you want to count your freshman year. You know? So think about that, guys. You've got 1 year of college, 3, maybe 4 years of high school, and that's the only experience they have in upper basketball. And then they get people that are screaming at them from the fans. And they act like, oh, well, these are players. They deserve it. They know what they do wrong. No. No. And they hear it. And it makes a difference. And it fucks with them. Yeah. And I'm sick and tired of it.
That's it, man. We just got to find a way to, you know, be our best selves. And whenever people are dipping into that, you know, that dark side that comes with fandom, we got to tell them to check themselves. You know, some Simple. People might want to, you know, fight and create issues like that. It's like, I'm not afraid of getting punched. But, like, in the end, like, I'm just going to tell you to shut up. That's it. You're going to say something nasty about my favorite team, my favorite players. I'm here for it, man. Yeah. I'm always here for it. And I'm going to try my best to stay off Twitter. I'll tell you where I got... I saw some shit. People were really questioning Giddy, and then I went, and I shouldn't have done this, but I went and looked at the Daily Thunder comment sections, bro, and it's sad, bro. And yeah, I'm just like, you know what?
That's what fired me up last year.
Right. That's where it started, bro. The most negative comments always came from the Daily Thunder comment section. And I've told the people who were in charge of running that in the past that it was their fault. What they did and what they allowed was their fault. Like I said, I don't mention names anymore. But the people who are running it now, I know who's running it now.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little scam. It's a little scam. Yeah. And what we're going to do is we're going to call it out. So, bro, go ahead.
I want to throw this out here, too. As you guys are going through, I've decided that every week I'm going to look for one of the players' parents. And I'm going to write them a thank you. Because the reality is that we're in a time and place where a lot of these parents are reading what's being said on Twitter, that are hearing the things that are being said.
They know.
And they don't hear positive feedback. So my challenge to you guys is, if you're on Twitter or social media and you can connect by writing these guys a simple, hey, thank you for raising your son so well. You know, thank you for, you know, whatever you guys want to do. If one of these guys has impacted your way in a certain way, reach out to their parents and let them know, because guess what? Those parents will tell that son and they'll know your name. And that one is one of the coolest things, is that being able to do that and standing up and letting your voices be heard. Because if you're listening to our podcast, you're one of the positive people. You're not one of these negative fucking assholes that are like, fuck the Thunder. They want Victor. We want Victor. We need to lose as many games as you want, because You don't listen to our podcast for that. That's what you get on the other podcast. That's the uneducated Thunder basketball. This is what's happening now, what's happening with the team, what's happening everything else like that. We like to talk Thunder stuff. We will branch on off and other stuff. But the reality is that Thunder is our true passion. And that's it, man. That's where we're at with this, because, you know, we'll go and we'll throw bows if we need to every single day, because when push comes to shove, it's this team that creates this family atmosphere for us, this love for us, this passion for us. And when you have it, man, there's no way that you won't stand up to people that are being negative about it. And that's why we're standing here talking about this episode that we are.
Yeah, that's right, man. We're a podcast of educated basketball fans for educated basketball fans. That's it, man. Coaches, players, that's what we are. Spend our lifetime around the game, around the greats, right? Like, when we say NBA players hear what you're saying about them, it's not because we imagine it. It's because we've been surrounded by NBA players since before puberty, bro. So,
well, before you go, I want to show you guys this real fast.
All right, man. Dave's going to bust out something. What we got here, man? All-time great. Oh, there you go. I see that.
All right. So this picture was of the 95 draft. All right, let's go through some of these guys that are in this picture. So in this picture is my dad right there. All right.
Pretty fucking young, bro.
Pretty fucking young. All right. So we have Joe Smith. We have Kevin Garnett. We have Jerry Stackhouse, Mike Bibby. And the list goes on. I mean, you guys can sit here and say there's Damon Stoudemire. There is Nate Archibald. Anyways, this thing right here is how we got started with basketball in the NBA. Was our father used to sign basketball players that were going into the NBA and on contracts, and then we would be able to meet those guys as he was signing them, which led up to what we now is known as the greatest memorabilia project of all time, where our father was able to get 49 of the 50 basketball players, of the greatest basketball players of all time, to sign to basketball. Now the list is up to 20 or 75, but at the time 50 was it, you know, mm-hmm. and the only one that did not sign it was the person that died in the 80s, which was Pistol Pete Maravich, and everybody else signed it. So looking at that and realizing that, like, we've been around the game for longer than probably diapers, man. The first time that, like, I probably met an NBA player was probably when I was in diapers. And, you know, being connected to that and understanding that, and then sitting down as we get older and we played hoops and we coached and sitting down with these guys, and people are like, oh, they got paid to hang out with them. Yeah, you get paid to hang out with them. But for that hour and a half that you're sitting there and you're there signing stuff, they want to talk. They want to tell you knowledge, and they find out you're a coach. They're like, well, who's your best players and what are you doing? And then they find out you're a player and they, hey, you want to learn a move. This was our upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that and understanding that and hearing all those years that the guys would say, hey, this team is going to be really good because of these guys right here, and understanding what they're talking about. And then watching that team go and win a championship, and you're like, oh, my God, okay, these guys really do know what they're talking about. And that's what they're all saying about the Oklahoma City Thunders, because some of these guys we still talk to. Some of these guys we still have contact with. And it's because once you have this idea of what NBA is made for and what the NBA is capable of, then you start sitting back and you're saying, okay, there's three categories in every NBA team that you need. You need defense, offense, and a bench. If you don't have one of those, or one of those three is missing, you're not getting out of the first round of the playoffs. And again, the war is the playoffs, guys. That's what we're all battling for. Every single battle we're going, 82 battles a year lead to the playoffs, man. Yeah. And that's why it's consistently, we all get this. We all understand that this is all stepping stones. Do we make the playoffs this year? I think we do. But even if we don't, we get playoff minutes. What is playoff minutes? It means at the end of the season, we're playing off for a play-in spot. That's playoff minutes. And that's the best thing for this team.
Down the stretch, right. And look, when we talk about the NBA players we know, right, I'm sure a lot of people are like thinking about it kind of like, well, you know them, but do they know you? You know what I mean? There's a little bit of a difference there. But I, without a doubt, we know that they know us. We've had a couple chances to talk to players about that. The most telling, the most obvious way that we like to point to, other than them coming over to our house a couple times and stuff, but is when we were having trouble completing that NBA at 50 project, and we
got 48 of the 49 living guys.
And we were talking to John Stockton. We're like, last guy we got to get is Carl. And we asked him, like, can you talk to Carl for us? And when we got a chance to talk to Carl later, I said, Carl, why did you do that? Why did you do this? You haven't done a signing in so long. He said, well, John asked me to at his number retirement ceremony in Salt Lake City when I saw him last time. And I said, if John asked me to do that, then I'm going to do it. And that right there is, to me, one of the things that was a core idea behind the foundation of this. I understand in this country, we don't have kings and princes and all that stuff. So we resort to hero worship of our athletes, of our movie stars and things. And so many of these people have been lifted up to this hero status. But for someone like John Stockton, at a moment that was all about him, a whole stadium watching his number go up into the rafters. And Carl is there, and Jerry Sloan was there, and they're all there to celebrate John. And John looks at Carl and says, hey, these kids need something from you. Can you help them out? At that fucking moment, we say, when we say that, we say, these people are people first. Yes, the NBA has turned them into idols, but at their core, they are people. And that is why we stand up for the people. That's why you say, say something positive to their parents, because parents are people.
Yeah.
They don't see them like idols.
No.
Bro, and that's why I respect so much your initiative to do that. And you've done that. And I hope other people do it too, because it means the world. But trust me, if you wait until this team is winning championships to do it, it won't get through to the players.
It won't.
This is the time to meet.
This is the time.
Bro. We better get the fuck out of here. I know you got to leave. So thank you, everybody, for joining us so much for this shortened version of The Last Storm. We will be back soon. We love
you. Let's do a podcast tomorrow, man, because Wednesday I'm unavailable. Right. And let's get a podcast done tomorrow, and then we'll do one Friday, guys.
Cheers. We'll see you then, everybody. Thanks for joining us.